I'm Chelsea Pite, your real estate social media coach, and my mission is to help real estate and mortgage professionals to feel confident using social media platforms and build a powerful personal brand without the overwhelm of wondering if you're doing it right. Imagine how you'll feel when you create a smart, strategic, and sustainable social media strategy that not only gets you in front of your ideal client, but also allows you to focus on what really matters, helping people build wealth through homeownership, not scrolling through feeds or stressing about what to post. If you're already in real estate or soon to be on your way and you want to understand how to over-leverage free social media platforms to help you grow your business, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Guys, welcome back to the show. I'm here with somebody that I am so inspired by. And I know that as you listen to this brilliance that is about to come out of this podcast, you as well will be inspired by my new friend, Mo. I'm so excited that you're here and you are an expert in the field of branding, video content, a revolutionary, and I think copywriting as well. So welcome to the show, Mo. Tell everybody who's listening who you are, what you do.
First and foremost, that was a heck of an introduction. Thank you so much. It's a privilege and an honor to be on your show. I have followed you for the longest, especially ever since I got deep into the real estate space. And you are just an amazing personality, and the things that you've done and built for your community is brilliant. So I'm excited to be here. My name is Mo Ismail. Online, I go by the name of Mo Isma, and I am a, I don't like titles, but like my goal is to help you articulate your genius. I believe that everyone out there has something, whether it's related to their business, whether it's related to their life, that they can say and speak and put out publicly that helps another person. And then financially, we do that by also leveraging what you can do and say via my agency, where we do video content marketing for personal brands that want to grow and scale and want to, you know, be a public face to help the people that they help. So that's me in a nutshell. And I'm stoked for the where you're taking me on this conversation.
This is gonna be great. To be honest. I don't even know where I'm taking you, but we're gonna go on this trip together and I'm excited. So let's just dive in. And selfishly, I'm asking you, and I was telling Mo before we actually hit record here, first of all, everybody needs to follow your Instagram. And well, I know you're on all the places, but Instagram is, as everyone knows, is my jam. And I look at your videos, and let me tell you, I watch a lot of videos. Okay. I watch a lot of videos. I'm, you know, in the craft as well. And your videos, my friend, first of all, can be a little intimidating, I think. Inspirational, yes, a little intimidating, but we're going to talk about why it doesn't need to be. Because when I see you show up on video, first of all, you have this like amazing background and the lighting, but your words, you just talked about articulating your genius. And that is something that I personally struggle with because it doesn't come natural to me. I am not a copywriter, and there's such an importance in how you are putting together your intro sentence, your first 2 seconds, how you're building the story. And it's so frustrating when you go to these conferences and people are like, well, you have to have an intro and you have to have a problem and then you have to adjective and you have to solve. No, kind of just tell me how to do that because we're not writers. So if you were telling us as clients today, how we can improve our videos, how we can improve capturing people's attention, and specifically through copywriting and that first hook and how you're building it, what is that process? Because we need help. We need help, friends.
Yeah. And it's funny that you asked me that because it's kind of becoming what I'm known for, both intentionally and unintentionally. But I do want to start with something you said earlier that's super important and super powerful, because I know your audience ranges from solopreneurs to people that have teams to people that can leverage the team. You said that my content can be a little intimidating. What I would love for people to do if they are going to follow me or if they check me out is to not worry about the first 12 pieces of content that's on the feed. I want you to scroll down and I want you to go down really far. And I want you to see the evolution, because I experiment publicly. And I tell people this all the time. I tell my students, I tell my clients, you're going to see in real time the evolution of me getting to where I'm at now. Though I understood it in theory and I put it into practice, you're going to see the production, the setup go up. You're going to see the writing get better. You're going to see me experiment. So, because I think a lot of people, they visit these profiles and they want what I call the album, but they don't want to put in the studio time. You don't see the studio time. I have intentionally put the studio time on blast because you need to be able to realistically set your expectations for your starting point. Because the biggest thing that stops people from creating, especially professionals, is that they assume that they have to show up in this super sophisticated, polished way. And that stops them from showing up at all. So let's just bridge the gap on where your starting point is. And then let's actually show up with our abilities now. And then we can evolve as we go. So I don't want you to be intimidated. I want you to be inspired and know that it is a process. So that's number one, because I know that's the biggest, like, that's like the biggest thing that hinders people. But let's talk about writing.
Before you talk about it, I got to read some of your brilliant writing, and I did not prepare you for this, but
oh God,
very rarely am I impressed enough to actually take notes while I'm watching someone's content.
Oh my goodness.
But I feel like this was so good. And like, obviously the way you delivered it and it felt like you, and now that I, you know, have also met you in the physical world, but like, you know, there's something magical about having the right words. And so I'm going to read this one. You're going to remember this video. And so you're sitting there in your, you know, your studio, and you say, if you want to become a magnetic personality, someone who is sought after for the things you can give to the world, you have to give up these three fears. And I was like, oh, I'm in. I don't even know what you're going to talk about. I don't even have these fears, but I want to know. Like, that was... I look at that and think, how did you come up with that? Like, how do we get from, so here's three things you need to know. I mean, and even that's even more advanced than how we usually start. So I look at that and think, wow, I really need to work on my hooks.
Well, let's break it down, because there's been a tremendous amount of trial and error, particularly with the hook, which I feel like is the make it or break it. If you are in the marketing space, or if you've studied up on content, you know that the first 3 seconds are the most important. So there is a science to it. But before we even, I can give you the how, but I want you to understand how the how works. Mm-hmm. So the biggest problem that professionals do is they assume, and they make content assuming, that the end user already has a foundational knowledge around the things that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So if we bring up real estate, for example, you start talking about closing costs and you start talking about amortization and depreciation and appreciation as if these people that are watching, that we call naive audience members, know what that is. Mm-hmm. They don't know what that is. So for you to jump in and just say, here's what closing costs are, or for you to say, here's the power of appreciation, they lack context. So mm-hmm. what we need to do is we need to create context about what we're about to say in a way that appeals to them from their frame of knowledge, right?
Say it again. Creating context that appeals to them within their frame of knowledge.
From their existing frame of knowledge. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So an example of that is, what does appreciation do for the end user? If appreciation on a house, what does that mean? It's making you more money. People understand fundamentally how to make, like, the benefit of making more money. Mm-hmm. People understand the idea of investment. People understand the idea of money compounding over time. Mm-hmm. So you lead with that. You don't lead with the word appreciation or something they don't understand. So when it comes to the hook, the way I love to start it, and there's many frameworks, but, and you're getting this, Chelsea, you're like the first person to get this publicly, by the way, because I'm putting together like the whole module on this in my program. So I'm going to give it to your people.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm ready to sign up for your class.
Yeah. So you want to open with a benefit statement, mm-hmm. right? So a benefit statement is, what are they going to get out of watching this video? Tell the audience exactly what they're going to get. So now you have them in anticipation for what you're about to deliver. Mm-hmm. Right. So in the thing that you said about, it's like, if you want to become a magnetic speaker, it's clearly future desired state. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm going to tell you exactly how, by overcoming this. After you give them the benefit statement, and again, a lot of this is predicated on you knowing your audience. And I know a lot of people say that, and we can get into that as much as possible. But then the second piece, which has been a game changer, is what I call an objection qualifier. So when you think about the person you're talking to, what objections are already coming to mind as soon as you tell them what you're about to give them?
Right?
So if I say, I'm going to help you become a magnetic speaker, your objection is, well, I'm shy, I'm introverted. So I'm going to say that out loud. I'm going to say something like, even if you're shy or introverted, or I'm going to say, and even if you have these fears, that's why you have to overcome them.
Okay.
So now they're like, okay, he knows what I want. He also knows where I'm going to push back on him. So he really understands me. Let me really listen. But here's where things get really sexy, right? Before I even give them the information, I do what's called bridging the knowledge gap. So I tell them why you are not getting the benefit that you're getting. This is where we build context. So there's a script, there's a piece of content that did like 2 million views. And it wasn't like we did, I did it once. And then I was like, let me see if I can do it again. And I did it again, 2 million views. So this is where these frameworks started happening. When you acknowledge the knowledge gap, you tell them about what they are potentially doing wrong right now. Okay. So you highlight what they're doing wrong to not get the benefit that you're telling them. Or you tell them why they need to be doing something to get the benefit. So there's one script where I say, here's a scientific hack that'll help you speak to anyone. There's the benefit statement. You can speak to anyone. Even if you're shy or introverted, there's the objection qualifier. Then I tell them, first, you need to know that as humans, we're creatures of habit. There's the knowledge gap. So for everything that I'm going to say after that, they need to understand that foundationally, we're creatures of habit. So the lesson I give them makes sense.
Right.
And then you introduce your lesson. So for example, we have a loan officer who's a client of ours. And the opening hook was, and I think this video is on track to do 1 million views. The opening hook was like, it's like, here's a tax loophole that rich people use all the time.
Right. Okay.
Right. The benefit is a tax loophole.
Right.
Then the objection is you don't have to be rich to do this.
Right. Okay. Okay? Yep. Because people are like, then, wait, I'm not rich. So just,
right. I'm not rich. So I can
understand taxes basically that we got to pay them. And wouldn't we like a loophole so that we don't,
exactly.
We get that. And then we all think, wait a minute, I'm not rich. I'm not a rich person. So this doesn't apply to me. So there you gave the pushback. And then now you're right. bridging of the gap.
Bridge the gap. And by the way, for all my real estate people listening, this video is about the 1031 exchange. Like you can't get more boring than that.
Yes, yes. That's right? So boring. Yes.
to bridge the knowledge gap, I have to somewhat explain what capital gains are, what dividends are. So to bridge the gap, say when you own real estate and you sell that property, you're taxed on the appreciation that you've gotten on that property. Mm-hmm. Now they're like, got it. I am taxed on the increased value that property. This is called capital gain.
Yes.
And then we introduce the concept of the 1031 exchange. What rich people do is that to bypass taxes or prolong paying them, they use what's called a 1031 exchange. Mm-hmm. And then you give them the lesson.
Right.
So now contextually, I didn't open and say, you want to know what's great about the 1031 exchange? They're like, I don't know what a 1031 exchange is.
Yeah. Or I'm not rich, or I don't have a bunch of properties, or I can't
100%.
Buy
it. So I
love that. Okay. Let's do another one, please. Cause like, I'm just, I know the listeners right now, I mean, hopefully they're probably like driving and like, please don't stop and like drive off the road because you can re-listen to this. Let's do a real estate one. Let's think about, okay, well, one that we hear a million times, and I know that you've heard a million times in the last few months, is like the market shifting. So let's talk about maybe something like that. Like, what would you think would be a good way to do the benefit statement and then objection and then bridging?
Yeah. So,
or if you have another one in mind, it doesn't have to.
No. We can do it. I love doing it in real time. This is a challenge that I'm up for with you. My friend, I'm always going to ask, like, what is the benefit to the listener around this topic? So when we say the market is shifting, I'm going to start asking questions like, what's the benefit? Is it that house prices are going down because interest rates are going up?
Okay,
that's nice. So people are gonna benefit from the idea of maybe your dream home is now lesser price. Yes, you're paying more interest, but you can get that dream home. So
or it could be that people that couldn't buy a house because it was so wild in the last year, maybe now they can come back into the market and they can buy a house.
Yeah. So maybe we say something along the lines of like, if you're a home buyer and you've been thinking about buying a home, this is why right now is the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The benefit is clear. If you've been waiting, this is why right now is the best time to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the objection.
Or could you even say something even like more specific, like if you were attempting to be a home buyer in the last 18 months and you got beat out of every house you put an offer on because the market mm-hmm. was so insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why now is the time for you to start looking again.
Yeah, like 100%.
Okay.
What I love about that is we can use that as the objection.
Okay.
So I think you've jumped to the objection already.
Oh,
so
the benefit, okay, great.
The benefit is they're going to be able to buy a home. And then you say that exact objection. Even if you've been punched in the mouth trying to buy a home for the past 18 months, let me tell you why. The market has shifted from, and then you start explaining, right?
Yes.
We were in what's called a bull market where mm-hmm. low interest rates, anyone could buy. So the competition was crazy, right? That's audience knowledge gap. I'm bridging the gap of knowledge there. And then I'll go into the lesson and say, but now interest rates have gone up because the Federal Reserve has kind of balanced things again, which means there's not a lot of competition on homes, which also means that people that are selling homes are lowering the price.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have an opportunity to compete for that home that you wanted because
right.
the price is lower. And then you ease there, like be a professional. Yes, you may be paying more in interest, but you can always refinance later when the market balances out. So that to me is a perfectly,
wow,
from top
that
to
was
bottom.
So good. That was so good. I love it. And so in my mind, there's like kind of four parts now too.
Mm-hmm.
And so my trouble is like, you're right. I would miss like the benefit and the bridging. I would have like the objection and I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't feel, you know, quite right. So I love that you've broken it down as like the benefit, which is like, what's the goal? What do they want?
And where are they going? That, yeah.
And then you've got the, even if that's the objection, here's mm-hmm. what you want and you can get it. Even if
yes.
you hate being on camera or you're, you know, whatever, like you can make 100%. Videos, you can hate being on camera. And then you bridge the gap and it would be maybe like a stat about building trust and seeing people on camera or something like that.
Yes.
And
yes.
then you can give your lesson. Okay. So it's,
let me give you some bonus here too.
Yes.
And this is all going to depend on how good you are at making sure the script is short. You can then double down on the script and give them the how. So mm-hmm. how they go about doing it. So that would be the end. So in this particular example, you can then literally break down the way to do it on camera.
Yeah.
Like just talking to them, like the way you'd want to do this is first go to a financial planner and assess your income. Then you want a loan officer to tell you how much you can afford in your monthly payment. And then you want to find a real estate agent who can search for a home in that range and mm-hmm. compete on it for your behalf. So now the script, you've even given the how. What I like to do to keep the script real short is stop right before the how and keep the how in the caption. So I expand in the caption.
Yeah.
So it depends. Like there's some scripts where you'll hear me say the how, but then there's some scripts where you'll see the how and like the caption where you can go into examples and really show your expertise. And if you're in a stage where you're selling with your content, then you can have a call to action and say, if any of this sounds appealing to you, or if you're wanting to learn more, DM me and I'll be happy to give you more information. Now we have this beautiful funnel from the content. From you have the content being created in a way that has broad appeal and will attract a wide audience. Then you have the caption, which is nurturing the audience. Then you have a call to action to sell the audience. So I call it grow, nurture, sell. So yeah.
And you know, you can apply this to written as well, or images, and you're doing like
100%.
So it's the same idea with all of them. And yeah, it takes some practice. Is it going to be hard the first few times you do it? Yeah. And then it's going to get easier and easier and easier. And certainly as you're watching Mo's content, you'll see how he puts those pieces together. And I know that I work on this and it's a little bit easier than it was a month ago for me. It's still challenging. But now I know, when I know that I have it, I'm like, oh, okay, I know I have it. So it does get easier. And so I'm so grateful that you shared this little formula with us, which is just gold. And then you did mention call to action, which tell us some of your favorite ways to increase engagement and someone taking action on any piece of content that you're doing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what people do wrong. And I love compare and contrast statements, which will also be part of like a modified version of the formula I just gave you. But you need to show people what they're doing wrong first so they understand when you give them the solution. So here's the biggest mistake people do with call to actions. They tell people to do so many things at once. Make sure to follow, like, comment, subscribe, DM me. And it's like the human brain can only accommodate one request at a time.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to identify what is the objective that we are trying to have with this content. If it's more engagement, then I'm going to say something like very simple, like leave this emoji if this resonated, mm-hmm. or comment this emoji, or I'm going to ask like what's been out of if it was that example of buying a home, was it price, competition, or market? Write that word in the comment. So the first thing is I'm just going to choose one, right? I'm just going to choose one thing. On the video, my favorite is read the caption for a breakdown. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. And it's usually just a text card that's on the video, which allows me to get a lot of things are happening here. But for those of you that play with content, you know that Reels just repeats itself, mm-hmm. right? It's just on loop. So if I tell somebody to read the caption, what they're doing is they're expanding the caption and then the video is just looping. So you're getting the views. And then while they're reading the caption, you are building your expertise.
Right.
And then in the caption, depending on what you want people to do, I think the easiest thing is like this post so another person can see it that enjoys content like this, or follow me for more tips at X, Y, and Z. It's really going to depend on the objective you have with your content. But for all the people listening, it's like, Mo, I'm trying to make money with my content. Like, how do I make more sales? The easiest thing you can do, here's the easiest thing you can do. Comment me this word or DM me this word to get this freebie, mm-hmm. or to join my newsletter, or to book a free consultation call. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you're in control of the conversation with the person,
right?
With what we call permission marketing, to bring them into your ecosystem to eventually sell them. Mm-hmm. So those are probably my top captions, if I had to guess.
I will say too that I did that for years. I had a DM call to action strategy and it worked too well, which was great. But I had hundreds of DMs, which let me tell you, I was not automating. And I did that on purpose because I really wanted people to know that it was coming from me. It was unscalable. They heard my voice and the response. And I did all that. And that is truly how I built a large 100%. Part of my community. So if you are going to do the DM, you better show up in your DMs and be yes. like on it. And you better know yes. that, wow, I might have to get a notebook out and actually write someone's email down and like send it to it until Instagram gets it together and allows us to send PDFs, which I believe they're actually doing now, or that's been rolling out. So some of it's a little bit manual, but there's some pretty 100%. Incredible things that happen with that unscalability. And there is a beautiful thing in having a manageable community, not of hundreds of thousands or millions, because it's really hard to be unscalable when you have a large community. So shout out to anyone who's listening who has a manageable community. Yeah. Love it, enjoy it, and go deep on those relationships while you can. That was amazing. So we're coming to the end. I want to hear about your programs and I want people to be able to reach out to you and hire you. You mentioned that you're launching something and I don't know how much you can share about it or if you have dates or what it's going to kind of look like, but give us what you can, tease it a little bit, because like I said, I want to support you. I want to join whatever you do. I'm excited because I definitely need to learn to be a better writer that will help me make better content and connect and convert people that are going to be watching and consuming it. So what are you in the process of launching?
Yeah. And I appreciate that alley-oop. That was Chelsea's call to action for me. So I'm going to dunk that very well. So I appreciate her for that. They already exist. So our primary business is we do done for you for coaches, consultants, and service-based individuals. In the real estate space, we help a lot of loan officers and we help a lot of real estate agents. Basically, we create the content for you from strategy all the way to publishing. So that's if you want to, that's if you have the capital to hire somebody to do it for you. And we would love to talk to you about that. And you can find that out directly from my Instagram. But I like to think of it as like crawl, walk, run. If you are just dipping your toe, I have a starter course on all of this, from strategy to the writing to how to edit and to how to publish. And it's called the Video Content Cookery. And I think just from what people have said, people have taken this and literally made videos that get 20,000 views like overnight. So the results are there. So that's something you can also find. And then there's my coaching program, which is the Social Video Amplifier, which is significantly more in depth than the cookery. We meet once a week. And I would literally do what I just did with Chelsea with you. You'd learn how to create the content, and then I would critique it, help you make it better. You'd publish it, and then constantly giving you updates about how things are changing in the market and different strategies around social. And a lot of success has happened in there too. Right now we're about 20 strong, and that would probably be the closest thing to launching again, where I'm going to be promoting it heavily, probably in the next quarter of the last quarter of the year. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait for people to be reaching out to you and saying, I am trying this. Thank you. That was amazing. I took notes. I'm working on my benefit statement and my objection. I'm going to do the same. I will tag you in my next reel. My next one's going to be a little bit more of a trend, and I don't usually do trends, but this one's kind of funny. And so I kind of have to do it. But my next one, I'm going to do the Mo system, and I'll be like, Mo, look what happened. So I'm excited to do that. And I'm going to put all of your information in the show notes. Please go and follow Mo and support him, because he is brilliant at what he does and definitely in our industry. So thanks so much for being here. And I really look forward to maybe a future podcast with us again too, where you come back.
I agree. Thank you so much for having me. I hope this was valuable to your listeners, and I hope everybody just takes it, runs with it, and freaking crushes it and wins. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Until next time, guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Thank you, friends, for listening. And if you haven't already, please subscribe so you never miss a new episode, and consider sharing this podcast with your real estate and mortgage friends. And if you haven't already grabbed your free downloads, 100 Real Estate Content Idea Starters and My Guide to Making Better Instagram Reels for Real Estate, you should head over to my Instagram profile at chelsea.peitz, that's P-E-I-T-Z, or you can visit my website at chelseapeitz.com. Until next time, see you then.